Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another day and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak to my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to continue our teaching on the subject. We must know and understand the reality of the word of God and the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the word of God and the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So if you have your Bibles, please turn them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11, and we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. Now, I believe there are three components in that verse that should grant our attention. And they are, number one, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is the number one priority. Number two, those who come to God must believe that he is what? The only true and living God. And then finally, number three, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, we were created to worship our Heavenly Father, but that is not what pleases him. It is faith that pleases him, and we should be operating on a level of strong faith. Now, we must understand that faith is a gift which comes from God, given to us at the new birth or when you become a new believer. Amen. God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. He has given to each of us the same amount of faith. So no one has more faith than the other. If so, then God would be a respecter of persons. And we know that that is not true. Now, that measure of faith has to be developed from its weak state into a state of strength by prayer, studying, worship, and praising God on a consistent basis. Amen. Faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. But it takes faith. Faith is the key that moves the hand of Almighty God. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Faith is that which pleases God. Amen. Now, I've said earlier, we have been discussing the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So those six principles are, number one, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And principle number six, the principle that we are currently teaching on is we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Those are the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, Jesus was getting ready to physically leave his disciples. He had ministered under the old covenant all this time, but that covenant was getting ready to come to an end. The new covenant was getting ready to be ushered in. Now, would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 16. Again, that's John, chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 23 and 24. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, and in that day, okay, it says in that day is the day of the new covenant. So he says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. It says, ask and you receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Now, that's the formula for prayer. If you say that you do not know how to pray, here it is right here in Scripture. Jesus just told you how to pray. You don't have to start your prayers with Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That is not necessary. Jesus says, Ask the Father for what you want in my name, and the Father will give it to you. He said, ask the Father for what you want in my name, and the Father will give it to you. You don't have to be on your knees or at the altar, or you don't have to be dressed in a certain way when you pray. Jesus says we are to ask the Father in his name, and he will receive that your joy may be full. Amen. God wants your joy to be full. Amen. Now, joy is an interesting Greek word. It simply means to be cheerfulness, to be calm, delightful, exceedingly joyfulness, greatly. Amen. See, you can't have the fullness of joy if your body is being attacked with disease and pain, and the doctors inform you that there is nothing else that they can do for you, and they'll just literally send you home to die. Your joy can't be full when you can't feed your family and you can't provide for them and meet your obligations as the head of your family. There is no joy there. But Jesus said that your joy might be full. Now understand, there is a qualifier for your joy to be full. Amen. You have to understand that the scriptures we have been reading are addressed to those who are not only are Christians, but also are walking in the light of the word. Now listen to me. The scriptures that we've been reading are addressed to those who are not only Christians, but are also walking in the light of the word. So in other words, you are doing what the word tells you to do. You can't be doing your own thing and get into trouble, and the hammer is about to fall on your neck, and say to the Lord, give me grace. These people are getting ready to foreclose on my home. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. I wish it did, but it didn't. These promises are for those Christians who are walking in the light. Remember, we read our foundation of scripture. It says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Again, these promises are for those Christians who are walking in the light. Amen. Now, I did not say perfect, so don't get it twisted. Don't go out there and say, Pastor McIntosh is saying you have to walk perfectly. I didn't say that. And I did not say that they were without sin. I said, those who are walking in the light of his word. Amen. Now, walking in the light of his word requires that one receives God's message, the light, and that one practices the truth. See, you can't be out there doing one thing and then saying another. In other words, the truth of God's word must not only be received and believed, but the truth must be lived out in the lives of his servants. Jesus is the light of the world, and those that follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. It is only then that you can pray this way and expect to get an answer. Let me repeat that. It is only then that when you pray this way and expect to get an answer. Amen. Please go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's read verse number 16. And it says this way. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, that's very powerful scripture. It didn't say, let your light shine before God. It said, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Amen. So God wants to see good works. Don't make the mistake and do your own thing and think you're going to pray this prayer and get an answer, because you won't get anything. Do not be deceived. There is a qualifier. Now go to the book of John, chapter 15. Again, that's John, chapter 15. And we're going to read verse number 7. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you." Powerful scripture. Let's read that again. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, if is the qualifier. I told you there was a qualifier. So if is the qualifier. If we abide, if we abide. Abide in the Greek language means to live in, to take up residence in, to settle down in. That's what abide means. It means to take up residence, to settle down in. It doesn't mean come to church on Resurrection Day and Christmas and Mother's Day. It doesn't mean dropping a quarter in the offering plate and think you're doing or going to get by. No, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And that means to live in, to take up residence in, to settle down in, to sleep there, to eat there. He says, then you can ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. You can ask whatever your heart desire and it will be done for you. Now, see, there are still people today who despise the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how in the world that can happen, but there are people that do not like his name. They don't think too highly of Jesus. But one day, hallelujah, whether they want to or not, their knee is going to bow at the name. Their tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of Yahweh. Amen. Now turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 9 through 11. And it says this. It says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." At the name of who? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now remember, we're talking about knowing and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. You would know what Jesus' will is because you would be abiding in his word. You would be taking up residence in his word. Amen. You will be sleeping and eating in his word. Amen. Amen. You would know what God's will is because you will be abiding in his word. When you do this, then you can ask what you will, and he said you will have it. Amen. Now turn to the book of Matthew chapter 28. We have Jesus getting ready to make his ascension into heaven. But he gave these instructions to his disciples. So go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, please. And we're going to read and see exactly what Jesus instructed his disciples to do. So Matthew 28, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 16. Matthew 28, 16. And it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now look here. Here we have disciples that have been with Jesus for 3.5 years, and some still doubted. That lets you know even today, some still doubt. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, the original King James says all power. It says all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Now the word power in verse 18 is also the word exousios in the Greek language. And it means authority. So in that verse, we can say all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All of it, not some of it, all of it, not a little bit of it, but every bit of it. Amen. Jesus has all authority in his hands. He has every bit of the authorities in his hands. Amen. Now in verse number 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So Jesus is telling them to go in my authority. I am giving you the power of authority. Amen. To go in my name. And in the name of Jesus, he says to go and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And said teaching them. So Jesus is giving them instructions. Amen. Jesus telling them to go in my authority in the name of Jesus. He said for us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. Now, notice something in it. He says, I am with you always. So that means Jesus never leaves us. Amen. He never leaves us or forsake us. Amen. And I think that's very important. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Amen. Jesus is presently, right now, positionally seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And there is no scripture evidence in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that in the last 2,000 years since Jesus went back to heaven, that he has ever had need or any use of his name on this earth, because he is seated in heaven. Now, what Jesus did do was leave his body on earth. Amen. He left the church here on earth and all the authority in the earth realm. Jesus delegated it to his body, the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones that have been given the authority. We are the ones who need to walk in the light of his word. Amen. That parallels with the scripture we read in Luke 10:19, where Jesus says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So God has given us this authority. And so the church has to understand we have this authority. The reason why we have so much nonsense going on in the world today is because we, the millions of Christians who claim to be Christians, we don't use the authority. Amen. We do not use that authority that has been delegated to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church, the body of Christ, have left in the earth, and we have the power to use the name of Jesus. We, the church, the body of Christ, have the authority to use the name. The name of Jesus has been working for Dr. Michelle and I, and we use it. We use it every time we can get a chance because it's a good name to use. And we have already the victory in that name. Amen? We already have the victory. And you have to understand that you have the victory also. Our Father shows no partiality. So use the name of Jesus. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. See if we can get this right quick before we get out of here. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 9. Ephesians 6, 9. And it says this. And you, masters, do the same thing to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.